away, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song with joyful ring. All caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere. Filling the air, oh, how they pound, raising their sound. O'er hill and dale, telling their tales. All people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. All on this and on without end, their joyful tone to every heart. Here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and bold.
Bringing cheer.
Oh, oh, how they pound, raising their sound. O'er hill and dale, telling their tales. While people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Right, Merry Christmas. Great. Isn't it amazing when you have people like that sing? It's just an awesome voice. And so we're here tonight to celebrate the Lord's birth. We're going to have an incredible time in the Lord, and I hope that you're ready to celebrate it. We had a great service earlier on with the kids. One kid shared with us that he wanted lots of stuff for Christmas, so it was awesome. So hopefully some of that stuff is just to connect and worship to the Lord further tonight. So tonight we want to begin, and we welcome you here for the Lord's birthday. And I want to begin with a verse from Isaiah, and it says, For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord's heaven's armies will make this happen. May God add and increase the reading and hearing of his holy word tonight, and may we honor God with our presence, our hearts, and our minds, and everything else. Amen.
So I got a little story for you. Thomas's dad said, hey, how you cook a lamb? And I said, well, you need fresh rosemary for that. He said, how you cook it? So I give him instructions. He said, you need rosemary? See, I'll bring it for you. So remind me of the story. Does anybody know the story of the rosemary? So the story is that when Mary was down by the Jordan River washing Jesus, she took the blanket that you dried with and hung it over this bush, and it turned the flowers blue and gave it the fragrance that it has today. So pretty cool. So let's do, you all stand up. Let's stand up and sing along with this song. This song is pretty cool. They took this song called Another Hallelujah, and they just changed the lyrics. It tells the whole story of the birth.
Perfect. heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. And I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, a fourth, a fifth, a minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! By night to see this baby wrapped in light, a host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed, Emmanuel and Savior. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In the east to Bethlehem, the wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, the frankincense and gold and myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Lord God, we come to you this evening recognizing, as we just sang in that song, all the things that went together on that night and in the months and years after your birth, and to bring about this day and this fact that you were born to suffer and to die and to rise again to give us eternal life. And for that, we give you praise, and we sing hallelujah when we say that. And so, Lord, in the voice of the angel so long ago, who proclaimed that you were born today in this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, we pray that through this service, that if someone doesn't know you, or maybe if we've gotten off track, or maybe if just things are just not how they used to be, that, God, we may have a rebirth of the Christ child in our lives, that we may see the risen Savior and Lord manifest. So for the rest of the service, God, be very present with your Holy Spirit, and let us truly sing hallelujah on this merry, merry Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our next scripture that I'll be reading from comes from Luke's gospel. And it's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of the king David, he had to go back to Bethlehem in Judah, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring a great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby snugly, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined with a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those on whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem." For me, I would have probably said, "What in the world was that?" "Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. If you ever want to know about the character of Mary as a mother, there's a verse right there. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. At this time, we have an opportunity, as we recognize in the nature of God is giving. It's inherent in the nature of God. He gave us life. He gives us life every day. He provided for us this year. Some of us may, if we stopped and thought, there might have been some times this year where we didn't know that we were going to be able to make it, and God provided. But ultimately, God provided the greatest gift of all, and that's what we celebrate. What Scripture tells us, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish or die, but have everlasting life. And so in that same nature of our Father, on this day in which we recognize giving Jesus to us as this greatest gift ever, we also respond by our time to give. So bow with me for a prayer for this Christmas offering or birthday gift for Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for your presence here tonight and for each and every day and for being with us. And we recognize that you are a good and awesome God. You give so freely, and so often, God, we rebel and turn against you. And so, God, during this time, as we've been focusing about providing for those that we love and giving to those less fortunate, God, we also recognize the greatest gift given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we return through our gifts to you in the same nature of the wise men who also gave. This whole story is about giving. And ultimately, we recognize that your son Jesus gave his life on a cross for my sin. And so, Lord, whether we're sitting here today in the fellowship of people or whether we're watching online, may we use this opportunity to give a birthday gift to Jesus, to recognize that in our community, in our world, there are so many needs that we can't even begin to scratch the surface. But just as you did when that little boy gave his lunch to you, you multiplied that to meet the needs. Lord, do that here today. As now we offer back and give you this Christmas offering. Multiply and use it to further your kingdom here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glorious name, fall. We have a special Christmas gift for Jack from the congregation. So we just want to present this to Jack and thank you for all you do for us.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. If my wife was here, I'd hand it to her. So I know. It's she was here, took some other kids home and other kinds of things. Are you like me? I just want to say thank you. It's amazing who God is at times that we tend to lose connection at times. You know what I mean? Anybody feel like over the last year there may have been some points where you might have lost a little bit of connection with God along the way. You may have had a moment. Even if it was a moment, you may have had like a blip. And just to recognize how God just never gives up on us. And he just constantly reaches out in that love. And so at times I'm humbled and set back how God still continually calls me to this. Sometimes I wish he'd call somebody next door, but other times I'm just thrilled that God is present. Anybody feel like it should be like October? Is there anybody else who feels like that? Like it's just like, I figure I should say Happy Halloween. It's 2014 was a blur in many ways, and a lot of stuff went on with that. But I heard a song the other day. It was one of my favorite songs from college. I went to school in West Virginia, and it was a song by a guy named Garth Brooks. Anybody heard of Garth Brooks? And he sang a song, The Dance. Anybody ever heard that song? The Dance. I'm not going to sing it for you tonight. You'll be glad. But I started thinking about dance, and there's a lot of song about dance. My girls are in dance, and there's a lot of dance. I know some of you have children in dance, and Cecil Dance is right here. And I just thought, how many of you like to dance? I mean, how do you really like to dance? Okay, who does not want to dance at all? All right, so you guys come on up. There's something about music, too. I love music, too. And I have like one of the most eclectic, weird, let's just call it what it is, weird, iPod selections. I will have Defying Gravity on there from Glee, the Wicked song. Anybody know that one? I have two versions of it. That's how much I like that song. And then I will have that, then I'll have AC/DC. Then I'll have Chris Tomlin. And then occasionally I'll have that song, Working Your Way Downtown, Watching Fast, 1,000 Miles. Anybody know that song? I have that. So I have a really weird thing. But there's certain songs that when I hear, they just make me want to dance. Are you with me here? Anybody? Hear some songs? Now, Melinda's going to give us a couple of them, and I guarantee you some of you will want to dance. I know you will, Fred, because you're a dancer, right? So, Melinda, give me the first one. What do you want to do? Come on, right? Did you just want to... Come on, y'all want to do it. I see you soon. You see. He has made gazillions of dollars just by... Right? And you know you all want to do it. If that was played at a wedding, you guys would be like, woo, let's go. You know, you start. And so that's one of them. Now, that's not the only song. Are you ready? Let's go for another one. Let's check out this one. Right? And then, yeah. Right? Come on, y'all want to do it, don't you? You all want to do it. It doesn't matter. I'm sure when they wrote that song, they didn't think that people at weddings for 80 years will be going like this, you know? And then you got the people who really show off and they're like spinning around like that, you know those? But that song makes people want to dance, all right? Give me one more. I think one more, Melinda. You know you really want to do this. I see you already. Right? You're just fake. Here we go. Right? Do you know they sang this song? This was an old song that was sang around in the Hispanic area for a while. I didn't say shut that off. No. But it was sang for years. And I see it. She's already starting right there. Look at her. She's like... and you all want to do it. There's something about certain songs like that. All right, we'll stop before everybody's just mass hysteria on Christmas Eve, right? I see you, Hannah. You're going. See, there's something about these songs. Am I right? You notice I didn't play any twerk music, so we don't want any of that in the church. We'll leave that up to King David, okay? Wow. But there's something about these songs that just make us want to dance. And, you know, if you've been, I was thinking about to like the first kind of dance kind of stuff I did. Yeah, there were weddings and things, but I remember at Northeast Middle School, the first middle school dance. And how they kept us outside until they opened the school. Anybody remember this? And then they'd open the doors and we herded down the hallway like cattle to get into the cafetorium, as it's called. Not cafeteria, cafetorium. And then there was the lights and the music, and when DJs had to bring like tons of records, kids, that's like a CD. Well, it's like an MP3 that's real. Forget it. You can't figure it out. And they'd play them, and they'd have crates, and you go up and say, and the thing about, there was a lot of pressure when I was in middle school about songs and dancing, because it was the break dancing stage, right? You remember that? Anybody can Worm and, you know, King Tut and Michael Jackson moonwalking and all this stuff. There was a lot of pressure. I think more cardboard boxes were stolen for people to use as a breaking board. Anybody have a breaking board? Anybody? Okay, there we go. So, and did you have the zipper pants? That's my boy. There we go. All right. But I remember watching people dance, and I remember, you know, I was always one, drop a hat, hey, I'll go dance, whatever. But I remember there was also people who would, like, stand on the wall and wouldn't move. And there's people who definitely won't move out anywhere. And then when you've been at weddings and stuff, you sometimes see some people who probably should stay on the wall because it's not good, not good at all. But, you know, and then when I went to school, to college, and I found out that for many people, alcohol and dancing went hand in hand, and they really should have not done either if they had seen what they looked like there. But if you're a good DJ, if you're a really good DJ, you know what music to play at the right time to get people moving. How many of you have been to a wedding and not heard the chicken dance? Right? The chicken dance. Are you kidding me? And everybody will do it. They'll drag people up and they'll do these things time and time again. For you, no matter when you were raised, it may have been the Atomic Dog. Anybody remember that one? Look it up on YouTube. The electric slide or the cha-cha slide, which tells you exactly what to do each second. So if you can't dance, you can figure it out by listening. Some of you are country and you like the boot scoop boogie. Here we go, dozy do. Okay. The twist, the sprinkler, the cabbage patch, the running man, right? Running man. The one song I almost put on but I didn't was Apache, and I would have been doing the Carlton and it would not have been a service. Some of you may like the tango. Melissa and I, when we were down in the Dominican Republic, we went dancing because they had a place to dance down there. And we had no clue what we're doing, and every song is about 5 hours long. And we just acted like we knew exactly what we're doing, and everybody was like, ooh, and we're like, ah, you know, just a lot of upper body stuff like that, and that's all I did. The Macarena or the Tootsie Roll, all right? You want to do the Tootsie Roll? Whatever it may be, depending upon your time, you probably had a song, or you could have that Land of a Thousand Dances. You got to know how to pony. And like Boney Maroney and all those things. Depending on when you were raised, there was probably a specific dance that you remember. And when these songs, and they're usually attached to a song, and when they're attached to a song, we recognize that we do have two groups. The ones that are ready to respond and get down right away, and the ones that kind of stand against the wall and just wait. I tend to be the first one, as I said. I've always loved to dance. And some of you, I know, are nervous that I'm talking about dance because you're afraid that a disco ball is going to drop down and we're going to start Saturday Night Fever right here this evening. Don't worry, we're not going to do that. And others of you are saying, it's Christmas. What is he doing talking about dancing? Because what I believe is this tells us a little bit what Christmas is about. Jesus coming into the world, and with it, he brought a new song. He brought a new message. A song that demands a response from all of us. And we have a choice to either get up and dance or stay on the wall. Now, I want to read to you some other scriptures that have nothing to do with the Christmas message. But the first one comes from Matthew chapter 11. Now, Jesus is beginning to teach, and he's so powerful. John the Baptist has baptized him and actually seen him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But yet, through this time, John had had some issues. But his message is so powerful, Jesus' message is so powerful, that a guy, one of his followers, Matthew, began to record it. And he gave this recording in Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus begins and shares. It says what Matthew says here. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in the towns throughout the region. He went out to preach and teach. John the Baptist, this is verse 2, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Now let's stop here. Let's look at John the Baptist. And there's the question that he asked. So hold on to that. We're going to touch on that in a second. John the Baptist was, he was an interesting guy. Now, just to let you know, Baptist is not his denomination. It was what he did. He was known as John the Baptizer. And there's a couple Johns in Jesus' life. It was a popular name back then. One of those was John, the brother of James, who was a follower of his. But then you have John the Baptist here. And John the Baptist was actually Jesus' cousin. But John the Baptist, or as I learned about in seminary, J-Bap, was an interesting guy. He was a little bit odd for our standards. He was a guy who hung out in the wilderness. His main job was to prepare people's hearts and minds for Jesus. He hung out, as I said, in the wilderness. He ate locust and wild honey. Anybody having that tomorrow for dinner? No, locust and wild honey. He wore camel skin clothing, and his hair and beard were long. It's kind of like if you took Duck Dynasty and threw him out in the wilderness. That's what you'd have, okay? And so here's John. And John has been preaching and teaching, and he had a very powerful message. He always spoke the truth, and he spoke the truth so much that in many cases, it upset a lot of people. And one of the reasons why he is now in prison is because he upset Herod's wife, who actually was his sister-in-law, and there's a big story. If you want to read it, go ahead. But he upset her. She hasn't put in prison. So here he is in prison, and he begins to ask a question. Here's the question. Let's go back to that question that we have here. The question he says, he sends his followers to Jesus and says this: "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" You see, the Messiah that they were looking for was somebody who was going to be a world changer. Somebody who was going to change everything for them. A savior, a Messiah. Now, John knew Jesus. He's even just claimed that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But what he does is something that you and I do a lot of times. When we find ourselves in situations or areas where life does not make sense or doesn't turn out the way we thought it would, we begin to have some doubts and some questions. Anybody been there? We begin to question everything. Our calling, where we are, where God wants us, if God is really paying attention, and sometimes we even get to the point of if God is even there. And we begin to question those things that we once held very true. It's interesting that Jesus responds in verse 4. And look at what he says here, and we're going to put this up on the screen. Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cured. Tell him what you see. Tell him how you see this." this is a list of things that was written hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, before Jesus came on the scene. And he's answering John's question by saying, tell them all that stuff that the prophets wrote is coming true. So in a sense, what he's saying is, I'm him. Tell him it's cool. I'm him. I'm the one. But then he says, tell him one more thing. Let's bring this up here. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. He's told him all the stuff. Now, one more thing. He says, oh, wait. Tell John this as well. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Look at that again. God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. One of the first things that I want to share with you here today, or this evening, is this. Blessed is the person who does not respond negatively to Jesus. Blessed is the person who doesn't respond negatively to Jesus. You say, Jack, what does that mean? Because sometimes in our life, when our lives and our situations don't work out the way we think they should, our lives don't seem as smooth as they were, we felt God calling us to an area and it's not that smooth, then all of a sudden we can kind of get tripped up and be like John and begin to question, Jesus, are you the one that you said you are in my life? We get tripped up on circumstances, and we leave Jesus where he is rather than taking him with us through the different circumstances. But wait a second, Jesus. You promised that I would have life and have it abundantly if I gave my life to you. And yet, as I look around, I don't see it. I don't feel it. Not at all. I have no job. My spouse left me, or those people that I love have passed away, and I prayed for healing, and I'm hearing you say this. My life in 2014 doesn't look as abundantly as it once started off, and I hoped. My kids don't talk to me. I'm alone. And we begin to question these things. Well, you know, Jesus always had a crowd of people around him, always. And one of the other people that was around him was a guy named Luke. And Luke picks up this story in his 7th chapter and writes this down. And he gives this other eyewitness account. So we have this situation that's gone on, and here's what Luke picks up and says right here. In verse 29, he says, when they all heard this, all the people that were there, all the people, even the tax collectors agreed that God's way was right. Now, I find it very interesting here that when they heard this, everybody, and they even add this, even the tax collectors. Now, when we seek out to get jobs, I've never heard a little kid say, I want to be a tax collector when I grow up. Even in our culture today, that's not deemed. If you meet somebody, you say, hi, what do you do? They say, I work for the IRS. You go, ooh, okay, hey, you know, don't audit me. You know, we say that as a joke, but we're really hoping they don't. Am I right? And so we don't see people who grow up and say, oh, that's what I want to do. Baseball player, you know, sports star, movie star, whatever. We have those things. I've never had a little kid say, I want to be an IRS agent. You know, nobody's ever said that. And in this time, it was even worse. They were deemed the worst of the worst. Actually, in history, around the time of this history, there was actually one more job that was just above a tax collector. It was a dung collector. Everybody know what dung is? Okay. If they don't, tell somebody next to you. All right. So there was actually laws written that if you married someone who was a dung collector and you couldn't handle it, you could divorce them and they had to give you half of their money, no matter what, as a dung collector. And they warned you not to marry dung collectors. Below them were tax collectors. Because what happened was, Rome was smart. When they took over a place, they needed money. They wanted money to support troops, but they also wanted the money to build roads and other things. So they figured, if we put our people in charge, they will never collect, and there'll be this evil feeling toward us even more so than it is. So let's use their own people. So what they would do, they would put it out for bid. And so people would say, I can get, in this area here, I can probably get $25 million a year. And they say, okay, well, you're the highest bidder. We're giving it to you. By the end of the year, you better have $25 million, or else they're coming looking for you, Rome is. So people would take as much as they can. They would even skim off the top, so they got paid a little bit more as well, just to make sure. So it was a dirty job. Actually, history records that in one city, there was one honest tax collector that they actually made a statue to. That's how bad the job was. So you understand? Think of the scum of the earth, and that's what you have here. Even the tax collectors, the worst of the worst, agreed that God's way was right after hearing Jesus. They all heard this and said, this is what we need. But in Luke 30, we learn that there's another group of people. And let's read that. But the Pharisees and the experts in religious law rejected God's plan for them. What we have here is one of those interesting situations where the people who had no clue about God heard the message and realized who Jesus was, and that was what they needed for their life. And then we have the people who were religious leaders who shut their ears. In other words, what we have that same group that they heard the new song that Jesus put out and they were ready to dance to it. They heard it and were like, all right, let's go. Woo, let's go, Macarena, Jesus. And then you have the other people who hear it and go, no, I'm not dancing to this tune. It's not what I see. It's not how I see God working. These two groups are still involved in our world today. Those who will admit, I don't have my life all together. My life's a mess. My family's a mess. Oh, I may put in good and I may walk in and I may smile and I may say good things like Jesus loves me and I may act like I have it all together. But guess what? Deep down in, I don't have it all together. And when I'm honest with, I don't have it all together and I need you, Jesus, then I can play the song that he has and maybe I can dance a little bit with him. We say I'm far from perfect. I've made a mess of my life. I need somebody to point my life in the right direction. I need a savior. And then we have group two who has everything all figured out. Not perfect, but, you know, I've got a decent life. And so we push back on Jesus. You ever tried to get somebody to dance who doesn't want to dance? You start pulling them and they hold on to the chair and they're not doing that. A lot of us do that with Jesus. It's interesting how Jesus responds to the Pharisees and the religious leaders when they push back. And he goes, he looks at them and he says, to what can I compare this generation of people? What can I compare this people of this generation? How can I describe them? And I find his description to be fascinating. In other words, Jesus says, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you guys? He says, I got it. In verse 32, he says, they're like children playing a game in the public square. What does that mean? Well, during this time, all business was done in the family square. And what would happen is you bring your kids along. And you ever been somewhere where you bring kids along and they just go play? They figure something to do? If it's boys, they'll just run and wrestle, wrestle and run, wrestle and run, run and wrestle. If it's girls, they'll do something. Like they'll be dramatic somewhere. I don't know. I have three girls. That's how it works with me. And here you go. Look at what it says. He continues on here. He goes, he looks at this verse. He says, how can we describe them? They're like children playing games in a public square, and they complain to their friends. Listen how they complain to their friends. We played wedding songs, and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs, and you didn't weep. This is one of those verses in Scripture we read, and we go, huh? You know, I remember being a kid, and I would go to my friend's house, and we'd be ready to go out. And I'd say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What is there to do? Nothing. Well, how about we do this? Nah. Well, we could go cruise Newark. Nah. Well, maybe. No. Well, we could sit here and do nothing. No, that's boring. It's the same thing that what Jesus is saying here. There's kids saying, hey, let's do this. Let's play duck, duck, goose. No. Well, let's sit here and throw rocks at each other. No. What Jesus is saying here is, I played the chicken dance in the electric slide for you. And you were like having no parts of it. That's the wedding songs I was playing. And you didn't dance. So guess what? I did the opposite. I played funeral dirges. I played the really slow version of Amazing Grace and In the Garden and One More Day by Diamond Rio. And I even played Tears in Heaven. And just to top it off, to make you really depressed, I played Kenny G. I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do with you, is what Jesus says. Because you're not responding to my song and my message. I have a message for you. It's worth responding to. Because it's one that's full of hope and full of joy, of a great news. There's a message contained in there of forgiveness. But I got to tell you something. It's not a message for those who have it all together and have it all figured out. It's not a message for those who know all the answers. It's a message for those who are hurting. It's a message for those who don't have it all together. It's a message for those who look in the mirror and say, you know what, everybody else may have a problem, but so do I. And I need a Savior, and you're it. I just need somebody to point me in the right way. But guess what? I don't only just need somebody to point me in the right way, because Jesus not only points in the right way, he tells us this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when in history somebody makes a statement like that, we have to respond to that. Think, for instance, the great speeches of all time. Think of John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And you know, people signed up in record numbers for the Peace Corps and other kinds of things because of that one statement. Martin Luther King had a dream and he shared it with people. I have a dream. And guess what? Other people took the ball and helped pick it up. And we're still not there, but we're closer than we've ever been because he stood up and paid an ultimate penalty, ultimate price for his life, for his cause. But Jesus gave us a greater message than all the other ones combined, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one gets into heaven except by me. That is a song we have to respond to. At some level, we have to realize. And we need to check it out. When evidence in history tells us there was a day when he was born, and then it tells us that there was another day where he suffered and died. And it tells us again that there was a day where he rose from the dead. That's not normal. Is that normal in your life? It's not normal in mine. And when it's not normal like that, guess what I have to do? I have to look at myself and respond one way or the other. You see, Jesus came into the world to give us a new song. And many of us right now have heard this song played and we say, wait. Jack, before you go on, I don't really know where I feel about all this. I'm not ready. And that's okay. But be honest with your fears and doubts. Because what I find out is sometimes we get really lazy with our fears and our doubts. We don't really look into things too much. We kind of look for things that make our fears and doubts just kind of be pushed back. For some of us may say, you know, I was watching Discovery Channel or History Channel the other day, and they had some show about Jesus, and after watching that for 15 minutes, I don't believe anymore. And my response to you is this: is 15 minutes of maybe an adequately produced television show worth all of eternity in your life? So what I want you to do is these three things as we wind this down today. I want you to, number one, give Jesus a fair chance in your life. Give him a fair chance. Tell him, you know what, I have these fears, I have these doubts, I have these concerns in my life, but guess what? I want to give you a fair chance in my life to really work something out. I want you to put up or shut up in my life. And then here's the second part, which I think gets harder. Maybe be open to the answers that you may find are different from those than you think you already know. Don't come with any preconceived notions or self-fulfilling prophecies. Don't look for what you want to find, but be open to what God wants you to find in your life. Come with an open mind and see if he truly is the Savior of the world. And for others of us, if we're really honest, there may have been a time where we responded to Jesus' dance. The song came on. It's electric. And we were, woo, jumped right up and got in. And we responded and we realized that it's real and it's true. But if we're really honest, really, really, really honest with ourselves, it's been a long while since we've danced. It's been a long, long while since we really danced free in Jesus. There's been someone in our life who we've not forgiven. Something's happened, and we don't want to forgive. Today, take that step on the dance floor and respond by saying, I want to forgive them. You may have not given love and support to your wife or husband, but just maybe criticize them privately or publicly. And maybe you're just placing this lack of self-worth on your children, that you want them to be perfect because you realize the things that you're missing in your life, and so you're just dumping on them, want them to be successful in some area so that you can have self-worth, and that's horrible to do to your children. Maybe you need to stop and just dance a little bit there. Maybe we just need to take off the mask with our friends and even the people that aren't our friends and be real for a moment and say, this is who I am. And be honest with ourselves and with them. Maybe we need to be honest and say, I have an addiction. And it may not be one of the big press ones, but it may be something that is just throwing us all off. And you can't control it, and you say, I need help. As I wind this sermon down, how do I want to finish this? Jesus brought a new song to show you life in a full and new way. Hear me in this. Jesus' love for you is real. And it's a fact. We often put it off for a while. And when we say, oh, I'll get to that later. And then later in life, we finally open up our lives and we recognize that. We say, oh, why did I wait so long and waste so many years? It's not okay to put it off. It's not okay to put off mending those fences that have kept you from dancing with the Lord. What Jesus' new song says here tonight, now is the time to dance. Now is the time to dance. And I want you to dance with the Lord on his birthday. Amen? At this time, we're going to honor God by celebrating communion. And communion is very fitting because Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And at the supper, he took bread, he gave thanks to God, and he broke it. He said, blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and sovereign of the universe, that gives us grain from the field that we may have bread to eat. He took it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat from this, all of you. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the supper was over, he took the cup. He once again gave thanks to God and he said, blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us fruit of the vine that we may have drink. And he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, on this night, which we recognize your birth in Bethlehem, that you were born in the house of bread. And through the Seder meal, the Afrikamen means I have come, and the cup of redemption means to redeem you. That's the whole purpose for Christmas. I have come to redeem you, or to say, now it's time to dance. And so, Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and upon these gifts. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed and sanctified and set apart by his precious blood. Make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, communion tells you this. Do you love Jesus? It's the first thing you got to deal with. You got to figure out whether you're going to be a wallflower on the wall or whether you're going to get out and dance. Where's Jesus in your life? Second thing is, do you have some sins in your life? Those areas where you miss the mark of God. Anybody have them? I do. There's things where you go, oh, I really shouldn't, but I did. And the other thing is, do you want to live at peace with one another? This is a key element that Paul shared, that we should live in peace with one another and that we should do everything to keep the unity which is bond together through Christ Jesus. Use this as a time to heal, Use this as a time to come together and connect to Jesus, not just the babe born in Bethlehem, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to ask that the servers come forward at this moment. And as the servers are going to come up, I'm going to serve them first. And we're going to have one station here. We're going to have one here and one over there. And what I'm going to ask is that when we're ready, you come from the back, this side, come down here. And then as you come down, you'll also receive a candle for our candlelight service. From the back here, down this way, you'll be served here. And from that side, you can come down there and return, and we'll have candles for you all. And remember, Jesus is the light of the world. Body of our Lord broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Carry the body of Christ broken for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out and shed for you. As the blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ carried. Come to the table of the Lord, and as always, the altar's open. And you know where the altar is? Yeah, we have a kneeler here, but if you just want to kneel down here, feel free. Feel free to do it. Jesus will meet you anywhere. Please stand, and please come from the back as I instruct.
Rejoice, rejoice. shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O
This time I want to go ahead and light the Christ candle. We have lit the candle of love, joy, peace, hope, all those things that I don't know about you, but I need in my life. I need some hope in my life. I need some hope in just the next day. I need some hope in others. Anybody need hope in other people? I need some love in my life. I need love that I can extend. I need people I love. One of my favorite writers of all times, Viktor Frankl, who spent his time in a concentration camp, said, to have purpose in life, you need three things. Number one, you need to have a purpose, a work. You need to have love. And the other thing he shared, which many people find very interesting from someone who was in a concentration camp, you need to have suffering. And to know how to overcome it. So I need love and I need hope. I need joy in my life. I need to be just filled with joy. Because there's a lot of stuff that tries to steal my joy. And a lot of stuff succeeds on stealing my joy. Anybody else? But it shouldn't. Because guess what? Scripture tells us for the joy laid before him, Jesus accepted the cross. And ultimately, I need peace in my life, and I need the Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus. So today, as we light the Christ candle, we recognize that love, joy, and peace, all those things come together in the Christ child, in the Savior. So as we wind out today, we're going to sing Silent Night, one of the greatest songs ever written. I can't imagine Christmas without it. And I want you to stand up. Now, I used to have to tell people, worry about light candles. All I have to do is tell you, just turn it till it comes on. And it will. And we're going to sing this great old hymn that was written right before Christmas when the bellows on the organ broke and they sang it the first time on a guitar. And it's been around ever since. And I can't imagine Christmas without Silent Night. So let's sing Silent Night together as the lights will drop off as we sing.
Silent Night. Oh. Come.
Now, everybody stay where you are. Keith, I'm going to ask if you'll turn off these lights here so we can see it. And I'd just like, if we can, to just kind of go ahead and just kind of sing that first verse of Silent Night one more time with everything out here except for the screens and our lights. Okay, you ready? Go ahead, Wayne.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
I pray that your Christmas day and season and new year, that everything be calm and everything be bright. And that you'll sleep in heavenly peace, but that mostly that you'll live in heavenly peace, in the peace of Christ. As the country song, life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. I think it's a time that we as the church begin to follow Christ's lead and dance where he wants us to dance. Amen? Have an awesome Christmas. God bless you. Merry Christmas. If you'll drop these in the buckets at the doors, have a great Merry Christmas. God bless. We hope to see you on Sundays. Come on back. Merry Christmas.
Nice job,
thank you. Really.